All right,
this Trevor. Meeting is being recorded.
Wow, that was a little more aggressive than usual. Okay. All right, this meeting is being recorded. Let it be noted. We are doing the sugya of Eidei Mesira and Eidei Chasima, a confusing sugya, but a very large and important one, so we continue it now. Let's just do a basic review of some of the things that we've been discussing, and then we will throw ourselves back into a source that we were in the middle of analyzing in our last year, and we will move into some new source material as well. We have a machlokas between the Tanaim, between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir, as to who are the operative witnesses on a shtar, who are the most important witnesses on a shtar. Is it Eidei Chasima, the Eidim who are signed on the shtar, are they the important witnesses? Or the Eidei Mesira, the witnesses who are present and see the transfer of the shtar from one person to the next, from seller to buyer, or in our case, in the case of a get, from husband to wife. Who are the critical Eidim? Rabbi Meir says it is Eidei Chasima. Rabbi Elazar says it's Eidei Mesira. As I mentioned last time, if you want to remember that, each side gets one mem. Rabbi Meir holds Chasima. Rabbi Meir has one mem, and Rabbi Elazar holds Mesira. So each one gets a mem on each side. I think that was probably the clearest thing that I said last time, because just based on the response from everyone last time. But that is how you remember which side says which. And I'm sorry? Yeah, exactly, right. Yeah, we're just going to make this more confusing. Thank you, Ari. So I just want to, it's the last one on the page, 6-5. So I just want to mention our learning tonight is sponsored by Genia and Lee Kamenetsky for their Fush Lema of Emunah Sarsh, Prince of Bas Miriam Ayala, Richard Rosenberg in memory of his mother, Adel Bas Yosef, Benji Silverberg in memory of his brother, Yitzhak Meir Ben Arab Yehuda Leib, and Sammy Zimmerman and family in memory of his mother, Elka Yanach Bas Chaim Shalom HaKohen. So that was the basic machlokas that we saw in the Tanaim. And this is, again, a major question that potentially pertains to the very basis of shtaros. Last time we discussed Rav Chaim on shtaros and some of the other basic information pertaining to shtaros, the notion of Epiim Lam Piksavam, the machlokas between Tosis and the Rambam as how to understand that. That was all other background we did about shtaros. But it's this machlokas that I want to focus on now. And I want to do so through the prism of Bahagos Ashri that we began assessing last time. It appears in source number one. And we're not gonna read the whole source again inside. I'll give you a little bit of background, and then we will focus on the highlighted passages, both in bold and underline, before we analyze this once again. The Gosa Shri was quoting the Or Zeruah as dealing with the following case or the following question. Can witnesses appoint someone else to sign on their behalf? Sounds like a wild question. But let's say you're dealing with a time when not everybody is literate or not everybody can write. Or let's say, let's not even deal with that more complex case. Let's deal with the case where the aide just has carpal tunnel, doesn't want to risk injuring his wrist, doesn't want to hurt himself. So instead of signing the shtar himself, he turns to the sofer, who is, of course, a professional scribe, the sofer who wrote the get, and says, you know what? I'll give you my name. I'll tell you exactly how I'm called up to the Torah. And why don't you just sign my name on my behalf? Is he allowed to do that or is he not? Now, Gosa Shri quoted a machlokas about the issue. So if you look, we'll take the first line. Heishe Rabbeinu Simcha, get shalo chasmo eidim mechzav yadon el asofer chasmo kasher. Rabbeinu Simcha said that they can indeed ask the sofer to sign on their behalf. What was the reason for that? He presented an argument from Rabbi Elazar. What was the argument? So I'll phrase it outside. So we have this word v'chasav in the pasuk. V'chasav la sefer krisos, right? So what is, and we saw in the Gemara itself that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar debate what this v'chasav means. According to Rabbi Elazar, who holds Eidei Mesira Karsi, v'chasav refers to writing. As Pshuto Kimashmao, it refers to the writing of the shtar. Because he doesn't put much weight on the signatures, right, because he requires the witnesses to witness the transfer, he says the word v'chasav refers to writing the get, and the pasuk means the husband should write a get to his wife. Now, does the husband actually write it himself? In the overwhelming majority of cases, he does not. He outsources the writing to the sofer, and the get is still kosher. So now comes Rabbeinu Simcha and he says, let's just consider that same word from Rabbi Meir. For Rabbi Meir, what does the word v'chasav refer to? For Rabbi Meir, it doesn't refer to the writing, it refers to the signatures. And if, according to Rabbi Elazar, you can outsource v'chasav to the sofer, then Rabbi Meir should also hold you can outsource v'chasav to the sofer. So for Rabbi Meir, v'chasav doesn't refer to the husband writing, it refers to the witnesses signing. But just like Rabbi Elazar holds the husband can outsource his responsibility to the sofer, Rabbi Meir should equally hold that the Eidim can outsource their responsibility to the sofer. And that's what we call, if you look at the underline of source number one, Mi de Rabbi Elazar, Nishma le Rabbi Meir, you could take the same exact construct by Rabbi Elazar, superimpose it onto Rabbi Meir, and the same logic should apply. Just like Rabbi Elazar allows the outsourcing of V'chasav, which according to him means Ksiva, Rabbi Meir should also allow the outsourcing of V'chasav, which according to him refers to the witness's signatures. That's the argument of Rabbi Simcha. And then the Gaza Shri, again, according to the Orzarua, if you look at the bottom over there, the third bold line there in the final paragraph, V'ein nira v'ein I klal. Says, it just doesn't make any sense. I don't buy it at all. It's like, what, you're going to forge the signature and tell me that the forgery works? That just doesn't make sense. It's not mistaber. He rejects the argument to say that the witnesses can have somebody else sign their name and somehow that still constitutes their signature. That is the machlokas that we saw. Now, what I asked last time is that we analyze the machlokas. And that's precisely what we started to do, and that's what I'm going to ask us to be our, that's what I asked to be our starting point this evening as well. A couple of methodological points that we made again at the very end of last time, but I'll make now again. Number one, whenever we encounter machlokas among the Rishonim, or among the Amoraim for that matter, or among the Tanaim, it behooves us to stop and actually consider what is being debated. As I always say, when you're learning more than just Bekiyas, when you're learning the Daf, you got to cover the Daf. But when you're learning in depth, whenever you encounter a machlokas, that's a stop sign. You have to stop to consider what the issues are that are being debated, because it's not arbitrary. They didn't pick a side one reason or another just by arbitrary choice. It was clearly reasoned. It was clearly thought through. And clearly there's some kind of machlokas, some kind of debate regarding the operative principles that are going on here. So that's number one. We see this machlokas in Rabbeinu Simcha and the Arzarua. Immediately, we stop to consider. Number two, when we stop to consider a machlokas, one usually very often useful tool, there's no reason why you have to do this, in my mind, a very useful tool is to start with the opinion that is more intuitive. And then, after you've discovered which is more intuitive, strive to explain the second opinion, which is less intuitive. In this case, which opinion would we deem more intuitive? I know what my answer would be. Rabbi Meir, not in the machlokas, between the Orzarua versus the Rabbi Simcha. They should... Yeah, you can't have somebody else sign your signature for you. Again, my intuition is with the Orzarua. Be'ein nere, be'ein I klal. That's like a strong lashon. It's not just like disagree. It's like, this doesn't make any sense to me, right? How can you possibly have anyone else sign but the Eidim themselves? You're going to have somebody else signing their signature? That kind of defeats the whole purpose of having them sign. So intuitively, I would have said like the Orzarua. Now the next step, fine. So that's step number two. Which one is more intuitive? Step number three is trying to explain the other opinion. Fortunately, in this case, we don't really have to go so far because Rabbeinu Simcha actually explains his logic to us. He has a somewhat reasonable parallel between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir. Everybody, Rabbi Elazar holds, you can outsource the chasav. It's reasonable to assume that Rabbi Meir will hold that as well. You can outsource the chasav. According to Rabbi Elazar, the chasav refers to writing, so the Baal has the sofer write it. So Rabbi Meir should say that the Eidim can outsource it as well. So, of course, the next step is going to be, right, now, so now that we have explained the less intuitive shita, what would the more intuitive shita respond? And that's the question that I leave you with. Is it really a compelling parallel? Or could we say that somehow they are distinct and different and justify what we all deem to be the originally intuitive shita and the shita that indeed the Orzarua adopts, lahalacha, as the correct approach as well? That's the question I leave you with.
There's a Lishma aspect, but there's also an evidentiary aspect. So in other words, someone came along and challenged the signatures and recognized the signatures if someone else wrote them.
David, you're saying, when you say Lishma aspect, what do you mean?
In other words, if something has to be done Lishma, then you might be able to say, okay, I can ask Amy to do it for me and have my kavana and all of that. But at the end of the day, we're going to use this as a shtar, and someone wants to come along and look at my signatures, and it's not my signature.
Okay, so let me try to break down what you're saying and I guess press a little further, okay? Number one, when you say Lashma, it seems like you're almost distinguishing between these two categories of Eidos that we've spoken about in the past, Eidos L'Kiyam HaDavar versus Eidei Birur and Eidos L'Raya, okay? So that could be an important distinction, and it's one that we're going to return to, because as much as Eidus L'Kiyum HaDavar, as I said before, is more of a Kiddushin Sugya, it does come up here too. So we're going to explore it a little bit, even if not in its full glorious scope. Fine. So you're saying that as far as Eidus L'Kiyum HaDavar goes, I'm present, I'm here, and I'm just asking a more professional scribe with nicer calligraphy to sign my name. But as far as the evidentiary component is concerned, it wouldn't be a raya. So why don't I just say the get is kosher, but it can't serve as a raya? Right? I'm just following up. According to your own logic, let us say it's kosher, it just can't serve as a raya in the future. She would need witnesses to testify that that it's but yet the Rabbeinu Simcha is saying, I'm sorry, the Rabbeinu Simcha is saying it's kosher. Yet the Orz HaRuah is saying that it's pasul gamur. This is lashon. Pasul gamur. Right? So according to the logic that you're presenting, why would it be pasul gamur? We gotta.
It's like, you know, we have a mitzvah of ksiva sefer Torah.
Okay.
So get it done, right? Like, you have to make the kasav lav for the get. Have someone take your writing for a get. It's going to get, that's going to get you hurt. But when it comes to chasima for Eidus, that's a different type of ksiva. That's the, when you put your letters there, you're giving testimony.
Well, Rabbi Meir, I get myself getting confused. Rabbi Meir holds that the chasav refers to the chasimos. So if the chasav is just get it done, effectively, Rabbeinu Simcha is saying it should mean just get it done according to Rabbi Meir too. Just get the names on the paper. I think your intuition is correct. I think we just need to more clearly articulate what exactly the difference is. Yeah.
So Rabbi Elazar wouldn't allow you to outsource the Mesira.
Rabbi Elazar would not allow you to outsource the Mesira. Of course he would. You could have a shliach on the Mesira. You could have shliach le'nesinas aget.
But the Eidus Mesira, you can't outsource.
It's hard to know what that would mean. You can't outsource Eidus because they become the Eidim, right?
I'm saying when you have the Eidus, that part, you can't outsource. When he says those are Nishmal Rabbi Meir,
right,
he's applying for Bechata, where it's just about the Kivas Aget, not
right,
about the actual Eidus.
Right. You're saying that, so again, he's focusing on the Bechasav for the Midir Rabbi Lazar Nishmal Rabbi Meir. You're saying let's focus on the Eidus. According to Rabbi Elazar, can you outsource the Eidos? Because again, it's a hard, what would that even mean, outsourcing the Eidos, right? You appoint somebody else as an aid, they just become the aid themselves.
Right, but Rabbi Elazar has other aidim. So to him, this is not...
What do you mean he has other aidim? He has aidim on the Mesira.
Right, so he has aidim.
That's what Michael's pointing out.
Right, so the ksiva part that he's outsourcing is just a ksiva. Like, it's not that important. Because of law, he's outsourcing the because of it, but the important part is the Eidus that he has, whereas opposed to Rabbi Meir, whose important part is the Eidus,
right,
how could he possibly outsource that?
Do you not have the Eidus? The Eidim are still there. The Eidim are still witnessing it. You're just outsourcing the signature. You're not outsourcing the Eidus. You're outsourcing the signature, the writing part of the Eidus.
But if it's the Eidi Chasima that are Karte, then you're outsourcing the Eidus because it's the Chasima that's Karte.
So again, but
as opposed to the Mesira, but that, it's breaking the parallel because of real Eidus parallel.
So let me try to I guess isolate. And I don't know if you're making the exact same point, but definitely similar points. But let me try to push back. In other words, Ari, you're saying that the chasima is the core of the Eidus, and Rabbi Elazar would never allow you to get rid of the Eidus, right? So my first point is, I don't know what it would mean to outsource Eidei Mesira, right? Because, like, you have somebody else witness it, they become the witnesses. I'm not sure what exactly that means. But I guess to highlight the point on the other end, and this may be clearer, all we're outsourcing is the signatures of the witnesses. They're not outsourcing the testimony itself. They can't say to the sofer, oh, by the way, I really don't want to come down to watch you write the get. I'm going on a California vacation. Just put my name on it. That everybody would agree would be no good. They're standing there. They're watching over, right? They're intent. They're pushing. There are no photographers here, right? But you, at a kiddushin, right? You always got to push the photographer aside. Or Bezatz and I were like, we were Eidei Kiddushin. We were Eidei Kiddushin together last night at a chasana. Sometimes the photographer is like very aggressive. You gotta like push the photographer aside, make sure you're actually seeing it. So the Eidim are there. They're witnessing. They're intently focused on the writing of the sofer. They're just asking him to affix their signatures. So they're not really outsourcing the Eidus. They're outsourcing the ksiva, the chasima of the Eidus. The Eidus itself, they're still witnessing. So I don't know if it would really be parallel to the case that you're describing where the Eidei Mesira somehow outsource seeing the Mesira itself, right? The Eidei Chasima are still seeing it. They're not.
No, but correct. All correct. But the parallel that we originally were making was that Rabbi Elazar is his outsourcing, his ksiva, his v'chasav law is the writing of the get. So that's just the writing of the get. That's not edus at all.
His v'chos avla is the right, correct.
And the get is for that edus.
The get.
The get is worthless without edus.
Right.
The get is worthless without edus?
Yeah, without edim mesira or edim chasima.
Right, he still needs edim.
Hold on one second. There were edim that saw the chasima, they just didn't sign it, right? In other words, the edus l'kiyum adavar was there. Why is the get worthless?
But Rabbi Elazar wouldn't be okay with that.
Right.
His point of drawing from Rabbi Elazar is just that he's outsourcing essentially something that's worthless unless there's actually edus.
He's outsourcing the v'chasav. That's not worthless. That's significant. V'chasav has ramifications to it, right? But as we saw in the Gemara, you can't write on something that's mechubar l'karka, right? You can't.
It's going to be a binding document without edus connected to it.
According to Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Elazar?
Either one.
You need some form of edus.
Right.
And here you have some form of edus. Rabbi the witnesses are seeing it.
Wouldn't allow this edus to go.
Rabbi Elazar, will Dei Masir Karsi.
What he's learned from Rabbi Elazar, that he says to cut the blood, you can then outsource the ksiva, that in and of itself would not be a binding piece.
What wouldn't be a binding piece? The ksiva itself?
Ksiva.
It might have been. It might have been. There are a lot of halachos about ksiva. There are a lot of. No, you need edus afterwards. Right, exactly. But the ksiva itself is significant. The ksiva itself is halachically significant, and you're allowed to outsource the ksiva. My basic point of pushback to you both is, even Rabbi Simcha is not getting rid of edus. No, nobody would entertain the idea that you can have edim again that are on vacation in the Bahamas, and they say to the sofer, oh, put our signature on it. The edim are there. They're just not engaging in the act of signing. That's his parallel. I think intuitively, I think everybody here is intuiting that somehow it's different. The question is just articulating conceptually and precisely as we can what exactly the difference is. Ari.
Is it possible that Rabbeinu Simcha is seeing the get as a sharaya as opposed to a shtar kiyum, like the Orzaru is seeing it?
That Rabbeinu Simcha is seeing it as a sharaya?
So therefore, the sharaya, they're saying, it's just, you know, the only thing that you need is to say that it happened.
You're saying it the way Danny Sachs articulated it last week. I would articulate it the opposite way. And I think Danny then said, oh, that's what I meant, Rabbi. But He's sticking by his guns. I would articulate it the opposite. I think the distinction you're making is correct. I would send it in the opposite direction. So let me try to explain. The question that we have here is the following. Rabbeinu Simcha is taking the v'chasav of Rabbi Elazar and comparing it to the v'chasav of Rabbi Meir. Now, in doing so, he's assuming that we're comparing apples to apples, oranges to oranges. He's assuming that v'chasav is the same for each one. He interprets v'chasav one way. He interprets v'chasav another way. But however, each one interprets v'chasav, they should operate by the same basic rules, and therefore whatever applies to one should apply to the other. And that's one way of understanding the machlokas in Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir. So machlokas, if you look in source number 7, we're not going to go through source number 7 now. We'll return to it. If you look at the way Rashi explains the Gemara, it sounds like a narrow machlokas as to how you interpret the word v'chasav. One interprets it literally as writing, siva. The other interprets it as signatures, chasima. But it's a narrow machlokas. And again, whatever applies to one should equally apply to the other. The alternative is to say that the different ways of interpreting the word v'chasav are not just a question of parshanut. It's not just a question of biblical exegesis of how you understand the word v'chasav. The different understandings are reflective of entirely conceptually different ways of understanding this whole notion of a shtar that we call a get isha. They're totally different conceptualizations of what a get isha is. It's possible that according to Rabbi Elazar, old Edim Sira Karsi, a get is just a means of divorce, not that the document itself is supposed to be critical or certainly not proving anything, right? The document itself doesn't prove anything. It's a means of facilitating divorce that witnesses are separately supposed to see and testify about in the future. Whereas according to Rabbi Meir, who holds Eidei Chasima Karsi, it could be that built into a kosher get is something that we call raya. In other words, according to Rabbi Meir's conceptualization of get, a get needs to be able to internally prove its validity and kashrut. That's why you need to have witnesses signed on the get. It's not just a handover item. It's not just a means towards achieving a halachic result of gerushin. Part of the very definition of get is that it needs to have self-validation or raya built into the get. Now, how do you build in Raya? By having people sign it. Once the signature is outsourced to a sofer, there's no Raya anymore. It's not if I typed up a document, right? And I typed up two names on the bottom. Would that prove the validity of it? What is the whole notion of proving its validity? The whole notion of proving its validity is you have a signature, a valid signature. Moshul Ma'adav Ardome. If you go, whenever somebody wants to make aliyah, you need like a proof of Jewish identity from your local Orthodox rabbi. I write these letters all the time. The Misrad HaPnim is very, very makbid that the signature needs to be in the original ink from the rabbi. If I have a digital signature, which I affix to documents all the time, which is, again, it's just a scan of my signature that it's very easy for me to affix to documents, they won't accept it. They won't accept it. It needs to be like the original ink from your signature. Now, technically, even that could be forged, right? But why do they demand that? Because at least it's something that indicates you were in the presence of someone who was affixing their personal signature to it. Obviously, if you just put a picture of a signature on the page, or certainly even more, if you just were to type it up, would that constitute any raya whatsoever? There's no raya at that point. Any Joe Schmo could put anyone's name on a page. Yitzchak ben Abraham, Yaakov ben Yitzchak, whatever the case may be, Reuven ben Yaakov. Anybody could affix the name. The whole idea is it's biksav yadan. It's with their signature. And because it's with their signature, there is a built-in raya that those people are testifying on the get. And therefore, comparing Rabbi Elazar to Rabbi Meir, even though they're both interpreting the word b'chasav, is not apples to apples. It's apples to oranges. According to Rabbi Elazar, what is ksiva? The way who was articulating this before? Eli was articulating this before. According to Rabbi Elazar, what is ksiva? It's get the result done. You need this get so that you can hand it over. The important part is the handover. Ksiva is not an important act in and of itself. It's totsa'ati. It's oriented towards the result. Make sure that it gets written up so that ultimately the get can be transferred. According to Rabbi Meir, is that how he's understanding the word v'chasav? He's understanding the word v'chasav in an entirely conceptually different way. It's not about just achieving the result of getting the get written. That act of signing, the action of the edim themselves affixing their signature to the shtar is essential to the whole notion of what get is, because critical to Rabbi Meir's definition of get is a raya must be built into it. This also goes back to what you were saying, David. In other words, you were saying the Eide Kiyum could work, but there's no raya. I think to formulate for Rabbi Meir, the reason why, and then I asked you, okay, so let it be good, it just won't be a raya. Rabbi Meir is saying the raya is essential to the very Kiyum HaDavar because it must be built into the shtar itself. And therefore, says the Or Zarua, you're comparing, again, two entirely different things. You're comparing apples to oranges. I will just point out that the svara of mi de Rabbi Elazar nishma le Rabbi Meir, mi de Rabbi Yehuda nishma lachachamim. How exactly do you do beer chametz on Pesach? Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda lachachamim. Mi de Rabbi Yehuda nishma lachachamim. Whenever you have mi de X nishma le Y, that is one of Rosenzweig's favorite svaras to knock down. Whenever that is presented, you know that to him that's always like a straw man. That again, it could be valid, but there's always conceptual reason to argue because it assumes that the difference between two opinions is purely quantitative, rather than an actual qualitative conceptual difference. So again, if you're in shir with the Rosenzweig and you hear those words, you know that he's going to ask you whether or not that's a compelling svara, and you know the answer is going to be no. You can argue with this. Not that again, it's a wrong svara. Rabbeinu Sim holds, and he's far greater scholar and religious personality than any of us. But is it possible to argue on that svara? It's always possible to argue on that svara if you assume there's conceptual distinction between two different opinions in the Gemara or in the Mishnah. So what we potentially have here is a machlokas among the Rishonim as to what exactly the gap between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir is. On the one hand, according to Rabbeinu Simcha, look, they disagree as to which Edom are the critical ones, but it's really a very technical machlokas. What is the technical machlokas? How exactly do you understand the word v'chasav in the pasuk? One understands it as referring to writing, so the witnesses have to see the transfer. The other refers to it as the understands it as referring to the signatures of the witnesses. So that's his opinion. But really, are we dealing with a fundamental conceptual machlokas about how a get works, about the mechanics of a get? No, they're really the same. Alternately, according to the Or Zarua, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar are articulating entirely different visions of what get is. According to Rabbi Elazar, you just need to get the writing done so that you have the document in hand, and the critical moment or the critical function of the get is really just that moment of transfer, that action of transfer from one party to the next. According to Rabbi Meir, a critical component of get is raya. And having that raya in the get is an essential component of the get itself. Let's see some other ramifications of this issue. Now I'm debating where to start here.
You say the extent to which that makes sense. Like Rabbi Meir says, a guy could write it. A chereshot and cotton could write it. without a gadol here, it doesn't matter.
The writing is unimportant, right? Yeah, again, think about a ksuba. A ksuba, you could print it out from online right before the wedding, and it's perfectly good. You know, you could write it on a napkin. They say that was Moshe Feinstein, when there was a problem in the ksuba, and they didn't have a backup copy, he would just write it on a napkin. You have to know it's hard to write it on a napkin. But Moshe Feinstein did that. Nowadays, we have Google to help us with that. So we would just print it nowadays. But yeah, exactly. That's precisely the point. The ksiva is just, it's not a significant act unto itself. It's a means towards attaining the text of a get. That's it. Now, really, the biggest machlokes rishonim on this issue appears in sources 2, 3, and 4. But let me just try to illustrate the point a little bit better by skipping for a moment to source number 8. Let's go to source number 8. Okay. What we're going to see is, and again, we might jump a little bit back and forth. That's why I skipped source number 8. The Mishnah, you'll all be ready for tomorrow's daf in a new you'll be able to view it through a new prism and a new light. Says the Mishnah in source number 8. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says, "Ein kos v'no lo al aniar hamachok v'lo al adiftera v'neishu hu yachol lehizdayiv." So there were certain forms of paper that was already erased once. Diftera, I can't tell you, again, I'm not a scribe, so I can't tell you what exact material this refers to. But the important point for us, the important conceptual point, is that there were certain forms of paper that were easily manipulable, thank you, and that you could have easily changed the text on the get. So Rabbi Seira says, if you have get on such paper, It's puzzle. You can't rely on what's written in the get. Maybe there was a Tanai written in the get. Much of Maseches Gittin discusses Tanaim. Harei Gitech Amanas, right? It's your get on condition that X, Y, and Z obtains. And maybe they just kind of erased the words X, Y, and Z. Or maybe there was no malicious intent, but maybe the words just faded, right? If it's not a reliable piece of paper, if it's not a reliable text, then it's not kosher. B'chachamim machshirin. However, the Chachamim disagree. And they say, even though you're dealing with this paper that could be manipulated, that could be changed, it is still kosher. Asks the Gemara in source number 9, Gemara Chafez Medal, Chafez Medbez, Chachamim Machshirin, Man Chachamim, common question that the Gemara asks, who are these Chachamim referred to in the Mishnah? Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar says, Rabbi Elazar, he, presumably these are different Rabbi Elazars, Rabbi Elazar reports that it was Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar is the one who holds that it's Kasher, to Amar Ede Mesira Karsi. So Rabbi Elazar holds, it is all about the Ede Mesira. So we have this question about this paper that is questionable. And Rabbi Elazar is telling us that it's kosher because Ede Mesira Karsi. Rabbi Meir holds that it's possible. So how does that exactly relate to the machlokes to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir? How does it relate?
You need a raya inside. Raya can change.
Sorry?
You don't need the raya inside anymore.
According to Rabbi Elazar.
Yeah.
Whereas according to Rabbi Meir.
We need it.
Exactly. That's good. Good. So there are two explanations in the Rishonim as to what exactly this Gemara is trying to articulate. Why is it that Rabbi Elazar, would accept this text that is questionable? Rashi explains the Machlokas in a very, very narrow and technical way. It's all a question of whether or not you'll be able to summon Edim who will testify to its kashrus. So let's take a look at Rashi in source number 10. Rabbi Elazar, So Rabbi Elazar says that this get is kosher. Why? To Amar Chasimas Aget Einam in HaTorah. Because Chasimas Aget, according to him, is not really required on a biblical level. Lo Sagi LeMisveh Below Edim Mesira. And you can't ever have a get without Ede Mesira. To Inhuhu De Abdi Krisos. To Inhuhu De Abdi Krisos. That is the Ede Mesira. Who are the ones who effectuate, who put into effect this this get? Tal Karcha, second line, Be'inan Edim, Tialfinan Erba, Davar Davar Mimamon. And he quotes the source, Rabbi Lazar. You definitely need Edim present because we have Davar Davar Mimamon. That's something that we touched on in the past. We were talking about Edach Anam and Bisurim. So therefore, you definitely need two Edim present. Then in bold, the Hilkach Lo Chai Shinon L'Dilma Mazaifa. Therefore, we don't have to be concerned that maybe somebody changed the text of the get. Because we know that the Ede Mesira will have read it. And they will know what the original text said. And because they are the Edim who we're going to be summoning in Beis Din in order to attest that the get is kosher, they'll know what exactly they saw. They'll know exactly what they were testifying on. They'll be able to clarify for us whether or not there was any funny business, whether or not the get was changed. Umad Amar Edim Mesira, according to the Umad Amar Edim Mesira, namely Rabbi Lazar, they really need to bring those Edim who saw it in the first place. And again, they'll be able to clarify for us what the get originally said. Rabbi Meir, second to bottom line, Rabbi Meir, who holds you do not need Edim Asira, that the Edim who are signed are sufficient, bold, second bold. Then we do have to be concerned that the text of the get was corrupted. Demand the Samecha Edei Chasima, Isha ha'ba'al linase beget, eina mevia, last line, lefanenu edem makasumun ba'am, yesh makirin b'chasimasan. Because according to Rabbi Meir, no edem are going to show up and based and to testify what happened. What are we going to rely on? We're just going to rely on the signatures themselves. And if there was indeed a change in the text, nobody's going to know. Rashi says it is purely and fully a technical question. According to Rabbi Elazar, when a woman presents a get, she needs to summon whom? She needs to summon those Edei Mesira who are there. Does she always need to do so? There might be exceptions where she does not, but at least l'chatchila, she needs to summon the Edei Mesira. And once they show up in front of us, we're going to show them the text, and they're going to say, oh, is this the document that you saw? And they're going to be like, whoa, hey, no, this is not the document we saw. This line was deleted, or this line was added. That's not the document that we saw. We're going to have somebody in flesh and blood present to actually clarify what happened. According to Rabbi Meir, however, there isn't going to be anybody present to clarify what happened. You're just going to be relying on signatures on the paper. So nobody's going to be there to say, hold on, that's not exactly what we were originally signing on to. Because you don't have the woman present, there's going to be a concern that perhaps there was some change. So according to Rashi, this machlokas, that writing on unreliable paper, is not, again, indicative of some kind of large monumental machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir and how they perceive the whole institution of get. It's purely a technical question of, are we going to have witnesses present in court who are able to clarify or not? But Tosfos reject Rashi's approach. Look in source number 11. Mashapirish Bekuntris. That which Tosfos make a diuk in Rashi. Let me just, again, like provide Tosfos' diuk in advance, and then we'll see it inside. Tosfos say that according to Rashi, the whole problem is we're concerned that it's puzzle or that it was changed because nobody's there in flesh and blood to testify. So he poses the following thought experiment, the following thought question. Let's work within Rabbi Meir, Edei Chasim Akarsi, right? So the witnesses are signed. But in this scenario, Tosfos say, we actually find those witnesses who signed it and we bring them into court. And we ask them, is this what you signed or is it not? According to Rashi, should that be kosher? It should, because the whole problem was... Let's say, again, I'm not asking why. Let's say they did, right? We want that those witnesses happen to be around, that we say, you know what, help us out. We want you to confirm your own signatures, okay? That is one of the way Kiyum Shtaros is done. They say that this is our ksaviyat. So they come into court, and they say, this is our signature. We show them the get, and we say, is this the document that you signed? And they say, yes, it is the document that we signed. According to Rashi, should it be kosher? Yeah, the whole concern was there isn't going to be anybody there to clarify what it originally said. So according to Rashi, that would be kosher, even according to Rabbi Meir, even though Rabbi Meir holds Edei Chasim Makarsi, if there was a scenario where they happened to show up and clarify what the text of the get would be kosher. Tosfos say that is the impression that you would get from Rashi, and Tosfos say it is 100% wrong. Let's see what Tosfos say. Source number 11. Ashapirish Bekuntris, to Rabbi Meir, that which Rashi said, that according to Rabbi Meir, Isha Haba'ali Nase Beget, Hakasov Adavar Shayachole is Daif. That when a woman comes forward, she has a get that was written on, again, this unreliable piece of paper. Eina Tricha Ede Mesira, she does not need Ede Mesira, but Ede Machasumimbo, Eina Mavia Lefanenu, Emiesh Makiran Chasimasan. And she doesn't need to bring witnesses before us if there are people who recognize the signatures. He quotes Rashi, we're not going to know what happened. Now there's the mashma. This is the critical line for us in Tosfos, the bold of source number 11. Mashma di have sa'ade kamon, have a kosher. It implies from Rashi that if the witnesses themselves came forward and they could tell us, oh, the text is accurate, it would be kosher. But Tosfos add, v'i efshar lomar kain. It is impossible to say this. Why? Dilu Rabbi Meir, v'inon sheyehei, muchach mitocho. Because according to Rebbe Meir, it's not enough that you have witnesses who happened to come forward and assert that the get is kosher. According to Rebbe Meir, the get itself must tell you that it is kosher. According to Rebbe Meir, this is what you were saying, Ari. According to Rebbe Meir, because the whole notion of get is raya, if you don't have a raya from the get itself, why? Because it's coming from this unreliable piece of paper that could be easily fudged or changed. Then even if you have witnesses separately who come in and say, oh, this is exactly the text that we saw to begin with, says Tosfos, puzzle. Why? Rebbe Elazar hold it's good. You have the witnesses. The answer is because according to Rebbe Elazar, it's not about the proof as contained within the get itself. The get is just about the transfer from one hand to the next. And if the witnesses can tell us that it happened, great. That's perfectly good. According to Rebbe Meir, the whole notion of a get is that it needs to be muchach mitocho. It needs to provide the proof from the get itself. So if you have an unreliable get because it's written on unreliable paper, even if you happen to have a circumstance where witnesses come in and say, oh, it's good, that's still insufficient. Because according to Rebbe Meir, you've undermined the entire purpose of a get, which is to have that raya that is built into the get itself. So here you see another example, at least in Tosfos, of where this other machlokes is hinging upon two radically different visions of what a get is. According to Rabbi Elazar, again, it's just a means towards that transfer from one hand to the next, whereas according to Rabbi Meir, it needs to have a built-in raya proof that something took place, and if that proof is lacking, even if the proof can be provided from an external source from elsewhere, the get is still going to be possible. And then we could turn back to what is perhaps the most important or the most famous machlokes about this whole issue with Eidei Mesir, Eidei Chasim. So if you go back to source number two, our Gemara said, Rav Ashi Amar Ha-Mani, is it worth going through the Gemara? We'll skip the original line of the Gemara. We saw it several times already, so we can skip that for now. But let's take a look at Tosos in source number three and the Rambam in source number four. So the Gemara concluded, Kaimalan Halacha Karabi Lazar B'Gittin, that the Halacha follows Rabbi Lazar in Gittin. And there's a whole question as to whether it's specifically Get Isha or Afila Shashtar, so we're not going to get into that now. Source number three, Kaimalan Halacha Karabi Lazar B'Gittin. Says Tosos after the ellipsis of source number three, Lefikach tzarech lizayir, therefore you need to be careful. Sheyehu edei mesira b'sh'as nesinas haget t'inhu karsi. Therefore you need to make sure that there are edei mesira, because we paskin like Rabbi Lazar, who says edei mesira karsi. De'ileka sham edei mesira, and if there were no edei mesira, eina migureshas af al gav de'ika edei chasima. The gerushin is no good, according to Tosfos. When Rabbi Lazar says edei mesira, he means it. He means Eidei Mesira. And if you don't have the Eidei Mesira present, the get is no good. Then after the bold, lo mahani Eidei Chasima, ela she'im yamusu Eidei Mesira, o yechu lahem lemedinas hayam, shetinazei ayidei Eidei Chasima de mestama behechsher na'aseh. Why do you have Eidei Chasima at all, according to Rabbi Elazar? Because there may be instances where the Eidei Mesira themselves are no longer alive when this get is needed as proof, or they went to a faraway country and they're not available to testify in Beis Din. So the Eidei Chasima are only testifying that the get was done in front of Eidei Mesira. In other words, what would we call them? What type of Eidos would we call them? Eidei Raya or Eidei Birur, not Eidei Kiyum. The Eidei Kiyum are always the Eidei Mesira. That is the opinion of Tosfos. Elamashma, then the final line. After the ellipsis, the final line. Elamashma del Olam Ba'i Rabbi Lazar Eidei Mesira. Rabbi Lazar always requires Eidei Mesira. That is the opinion of Tosfos. Pretty straightforward. That's a simple reading of Gemara. When Rabbi Meir says Eidei Chasima, he means Eidei Chasima. Rabbi Lazar says Eidei Mesira, he means Eidei Mesira, period. But the picture is complicated when we turn to the Chachmei Svar. Take a look at the Rambam in source number four. Halacha Tesvav. Takanas Chachamim hi sheyiyu ha'edim chos ben al haget. There's a Takanas Chachamim that Eidim should be signed on a get. Now, if it's Takanas Chachamim, that means it is not Mida Oraisa. Why is it not Mida Oraisa? Because the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Elazar, that it's Eidei Mesira that are the critical Eidim. Why does the Rambam paskin like Rabbi Elazar? Because the Gemara says, Halacha Karebi Elazar, right? So the Rambam is telling us that signatures are not needed Mida Oraisa. We really hold Eidei Mesira are the main Eidim. There's Takana D'Rabbanan, they should have the Chasimas. Why? He gives the same reason that Tosfos recorded a moment ago. Shema Yitin La Get Bifnei Shnayim. So he's going to give a get in front of two Eidei Mesira, as he should, via Musu, but they're going to die and they're not going to be able to testify anymore. And then even though the get was done, even though it was properly executed, even though Hashem knows that she's properly divorced, it's not going to be very much help to her in Beis Din because there are no signatures on it and the witnesses are no longer here to testify. So Therefore, they testify that somebody should write their testimony inside, namely they should sign. Ram says, even though you have witnesses signed there, what must you still do? You must still give it in front of Edei Mesira, because we hold like Rabbi Elazar, Edei Mesira Karsi. The Rambam says, it could be the same two witnesses as the ones who signed. That's not a problem, but they do need to be there for the moment where it's handed over. But then look at what the Rambam says in the next halacha, halacha to sign. This is the sheet of the Chachmei Sfarad. Chasmu bo shnayim. Two people signed it. Ve'avar, ve'nosno la beino levena. And he did it without Edei Mesira, without two witnesses observing the transfer. Or it turns out that the Edei Mesira that you hired were siblings and they were psulin. Harei ze kasher. The get is still kasher. B'diavad lechatchila, you should have Edei Mesira, but the get is still kasher. Why? Ho'il ve'edim shabok sheirin, b'harei get yotze mitachas yada. Because the edim that are written there are ksherim, and she still provides the get. He says, "V'yesh b'hoshahora mina gaonim shu pasul." There are those who say from the gaonim that it's pasul. That is the shita of the Balei Atosos. The Balei Atosos hold that it's pasul. What the Rambam is saying is, even though Rabbi Elazar holds edim misira karsi, he also holds edim chasima can work as well. In other words, the question is not edim misira o edim chasima. What Rabbi Elazar is saying is, afilu edei mesira karsi, even edei mesira can work, but edei chasima will work as well. Now, how do you explain that? Once again, this machlokes between the Rishonim could be whether these are working through similar mechanisms or entirely different approaches. If they are all within one approach, it's likely that you'd say that even the Manda Amar who holds edei mesira can work through edei chasima as well, because they're not really so far apart. However, if you view them as two entirely different conceptualizations of get, then there's a reason why Rabbi Meir holds of one, Rabbi Elazar holds of the other, and neither would agree with the mechanism that the other provides. Oh,